Amateur Radio Newsline report number 2484, with a release date of Friday, June 6th, 2025, to follow in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. We begin this week with a developing story. As Newsline went to production, the FCC prepared for the departure of two commissioners. Commissioner Nathan Symington announced on Wednesday, June 4th, that he was leaving the post he has held since 2020, following his appointment by President Donald Trump. His announcement follows an earlier one from Commissioner Jeffrey Starks, a Democrat, that he would leave the FCC. Both departures were scheduled to happen by June 6th, meaning that with one other seat already left vacant, the President and the U.S. Senate must now fill three spots. Until then, the FCC will have temporarily one Republican and one Democratic commissioner each. Neither man's statement gave reasons for the departure. The following is a QST. A major antenna maker discontinues its production for ham radio. NOAA's weather radio stations go off the air for upgrades, and a new leadership for the popular 13 Colonies special event in the U.S. All this and more as Amateur Radio Newsline report number 2484 comes your way right now.
From around the world, this is Newsline, Amateur Radio's independent on-the-air news and bulletin service. And now reporting from Valparaiso, Indiana, here's Paul Brown, WD9GCO.
The popular amateur radio antennas manufactured by Stepper are being discontinued. The company announced that it is halting their production this summer. Jim Dameron, N8TMW, has the details.
Stepper has announced that it is stopping production of all amateur radio and other consumer antennas starting in August. The company's statement, which appears on its website, said it would continue to honor all product warranties and provide technical support as needed. The company said, quote, "Given our long history of impact and innovation, we don't take this decision lightly, but have decided that it is necessary for our ongoing operations and to make sure we can continue to efficiently provide our existing customers with product support services," end quote. All antenna and spare parts orders will be fulfilled by the company through the end of August. After the 31st of the month, Stepper will sell spare parts as long as the inventory permits. Based in Washington State, the company has been well known in the amateur radio community since 2001. Stepper produces a variety of mechanically adjusted, remotely tuned, frequency-optimized HF-VHF Yagi vertical and dipole antenna systems, which serve military, commercial, emergency communications, and consumer markets. This is Jim Dameron, N8TMW.
The National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration is in the process of temporarily taking its radio stations off the air for scheduled updates. And Randy Sly, W4XJ, tells us what to expect.
As some parts of the United States enter hurricane season, which officially began on June 1st, the National Weather Service is continuing with its nationwide update of their Advanced Weather Interactive Processing System. This system is used for weather data processing and communications, two functions that are especially critical during storms and other weather-related emergencies. The upgrades will be taking more than 1,000 radio stations of the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration off the air on a rolling basis for 2 to 3 days in a scheduled rollout for their 122 weather forecast offices. Broadcasters and ham radio groups have expressed concern about not having access to these emergency stations during those periods. NOAA Weather Radio, known as the voice of the National Weather Service, is a nationwide network of radio stations broadcasting continuous weather information directly from the nearest weather forecast office. These stations broadcast official Weather Service warnings, watches, forecasts, and other hazard information 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. The NWS is using social media and other means to inform citizens in the affected areas when their stations will be out of service. They are also encouraging citizens to rely on alternate sources for weather warnings during the outage, including local TV and radio, weather apps, and NWS websites. This is Randy Sly, W4XJ.
The Sable Island de-expedition team is heading back there next year. and they'll have company. John Williams, VK4JJW, has that report.
The CY0S team of de-expeditioners will be returning to Sable Island in 2026. The operators announced in a press release that Parks Canada Sable Island has invited them to return next March and has approved their plans for a 10 to 12-day de-expedition. As they set up to operate on this remote island in Atlantic Canada, they'll have some welcome company. Operators from the CY9C de-expedition team, who had activated St. Paul Island in 2024. The CY9C operators knew that year that their successful activation on St. Paul was likely to be the last for a long time on that challenging, environmentally sensitive landscape. Like Sable Island, St. Paul Island is considered one of the more difficult de-expedition destinations in North America. Windswept Sable Island is perhaps best known for its population of wild horses. Team leaders for Sable Island will be Murray, WA4DAN, and Glenn, W0GJ. A website has already been set up at cy0s.com by webmaster Chaz, W4GKF. This is John Williams, VK4JJW.
A Citizens Band operator is facing a fine after the FCC charged him with a series of operating violations. We hear more from Kevin Trotman, N5PRE.
An Illinois man faces a $25,000 penalty from the FCC for unauthorized operation of a Citizen Band radio. The agency announced its decision on May 30th, 2025, 2 years to the day after it issued a notice of apparent liability against Jamie John Leon. The agency's enforcement bureau said that he repeatedly voided his operating authority by sending nonverbal, indecipherable sound effects over long periods, causing malicious interference and engaging in one-way transmissions. According to the FCC document, Leon did not file a response to the 2023 notice of liability. Citizen Band Radio is not a licensed service in the United States. Operators retain the privilege of using CB by agreeing to comply to the relevant regulations stipulated in the Communications Act of 1934. This is Kevin Trotman, N5PRE.
Meanwhile, the Australian Communications and Media Authority has proposed that reported abuses of Citizens Band regulations that are deemed serious should be referred to the police for further investigations. Citizens Band operators are covered by a class license in Australia under the Radio Communications Act. The current regulations are set to sunset on the 1st of October. Public comment is being accepted through the 15th of July. NASA will no longer operate its Spot the Station website for fans of the International Space Station. Sel Embi, KB3TZD, explains.
If you like to keep tabs on the International Space Station, and you've been doing so via NASA's Spot the Station website, you will need to change your space station viewing strategy starting the 12th of June. NASA will be discontinuing the website as of that date and will no longer display opportunities for sightings on their site. Subscribed users who have been receiving text and email notifications linking them to the website will no longer have this option either. The announcement on the website now directs ISS watchers to instead download NASA's official Spot the Station mobile app onto their Apple or Android smartphones. The Spot the Station app expands notification of viewing opportunities in the United States and across the globe, as well as providing additional capabilities to improve user experiences. This is Sel Embi, KB3TZD.
Throughout the month of June, hams are celebrating an important hiking trail in New Brunswick, Canada. Travis Lisk, N3ILS, has those details.
There's a lot of history stretching along the distance of nearly 60 kilometers, or 36 miles, that define Canada's Dobson Trail, a preeminent hiking trail in New Brunswick. The nation's longest trail to be maintained by volunteers, it is amply populated with a number of sites in the Worldwide Flora and Fauna Program. The trail is the first part of the Fundy footpath in Atlantic Canada. Named for the outdoorsman Art Dobson, who led the volunteers as they carved out and built the trail by hand, it marks its 65th anniversary this year. Throughout June, Special Event Station VC9DT will be on the air celebrating by calling CQ. The Atlantic Coast DX and Contest Group, VE9ACC, and the Canadian chapter of Worldwide Flora and Fauna will be activating the special call sign on different locations along the trail and on various bands using single sideband and FT8, FT4. Details and more about the trail's history can be found on the QRZ.com page for VC9DT. This is Travis Lisk and 3ILS.
It's time for you to identify your station. We are the Amateur Radio Newsline, heard on bulletin stations around the world, including the N9 IAA repeater system from southern Michigan through northern Indiana to the south side of Chicago on 146.685 on Thursday evenings at 8:30 p.m. Central. Be listening on June 19th for a special FM radio broadcast celebrating Edwin Armstrong's development of FM radio. Kent Peterson, KC0DGY, tells us about the special programming that's planned.
The call sign W2XMN is etched in cement atop the doorway of a small brick transmitter building in New Jersey, not far from the radio tower where history's first FM broadcast began in 1938. Those steady transmissions became a reality only 3 years after engineer and inventor Edwin Armstrong had given a public demonstration at an engineering conference showing that frequency modulation radio could deliver static-free sound graced with a remarkable fidelity that was previously unheard of. FM broadcasting will return temporarily to W2XMN's original VHF low-band frequency, 42.8 MHz, beginning at noon on Thursday, the 19th of June. The Northern New Jersey Tower, once used by W2XMN, will broadcast a repeat of programming first aired in 2005 to commemorate Armstrong's successful FM demonstration in 1935. The content includes interviews with Armstrong's niece, Jean Hammond, and with Tom Lewis, the author of the book Empire of the Air, Men Who Made Radio. According to a report on the RadioWorld.com website, a restored Phasotron transmitter will be running 250 watts of power into a vertical antenna. The structure known as the Alpine Tower is still used today. Radio station WFDU, the public radio station licensed to Fairleigh Dickinson University in New Jersey, is on the air at 89.1 FM, of course. This is Kent Peterson, KC0DGY.
One of the season's most popular HF operating events here in the U.S. is honoring its founder, as he steps away from 16 years at the helm. Mark Abramovich, NT3V, has the details.
If you haven't heard of the 13 Connolly special event or heard stations calling in the annual activity between July 1st and July 8th, you have missed a unique opportunity to celebrate the history of the U.S. and mark the American Revolution. Ken Vallone, KU2US, who conceived the idea of activating stations in the 13 original colonies, is going into semi-retirement. Vallone is passing on the responsibility for event coordination to Tony James, N4ATJ of Macadenville, North Carolina, a longtime 13 Colonies coordinator for his home state's K2J station. Vallone will remain involved as the New York State coordinator for K2A. Bob Jajawai, WA3PZO, who joined Vallone more than a dozen years ago in his passion to promote American history via an amateur radio special event, is helping to ensure a smooth transition. Jajawai is coordinator for WM3PEN, a bonus station that recognizes Philadelphia's role as the birthplace of the Declaration of Independence. Jajawai said that in its first year, the event recorded some 12,000 CUSOs. That grew to a breathtaking 292,426 contacts in 2024. It also attracted operators who now run bonus stations in Great Britain, GB13COL, and France, TM13COL, recognizing the role the two countries played in America's war for independence. This year's 13 Colony Certificate will recognize the work Vallone has done to make the event so popular. Vallone, however, shared a different perspective on why the event is such a success. In an email sent recently to all hams involved, he wrote, quote, "I just only started this event, and I tried to keep it going. But it was you folks who also, through your participation and dedication, managing your states and special bonus stations, Philadelphia, England, and France, that made this whole thing work." End quote. To find out more about the 13 Colony special event, go to the text version of this story at arnewsline.org and click on the link there. This is Mark Abramovich, NT3V.
It has been a productive year so far for amateur radio operators in New Hampshire. A memorandum of understanding between the state and New Hampshire ARRIES has designated emergency operators as the sole providers of ham radio communication support to the state's Department of Safety, Division of Emergency Services and Communication. Ham radio's important role in the community has since been underscored by a recent proclamation from the governor's office declaring June as Amateur Radio Month in New Hampshire. New Hampshire joins Hawaii in this formal gesture of appreciation for the hams in their state. In the world of DX, email DL8JJ will be using the call sign EA5/DL8JJ from Peñeta de Moro, IOTA number EU-151, between the 7th and the 9th of June. Listen for him on 40 through 10 meters, where he will be using CW and single sideband, QSL via M0OXO's OQRS. Listen for Bo, OZ1DJJ, using the call sign OX3LX, from Greenland, IOTA number NA018, where he will operate holiday style from two locations. He will be at Grid Square GP47PA from the 5th through to the 9th of June, and at Grid Square GP44DE from the 10th through to the 22nd. See QRZ.com for other details. Special call sign PA2025NATO is on the air through June to mark the NATO summit being hosted by the Netherlands for the first time on the weekend of June 24th. QSL details and other information is on QRZ.com. Dominico, IK1MNF, is using the call sign IK1NMF/IA5 from Isola de Elba, IOTA number EU-028, from early June until the end of September. List for Dominico on 20 through 6 meters, where he will be using single sideband most of the time. See QRZ.com for QSL details. A recent joint de-expedition to Kosovo was much anticipated after a series of postponements and delays. What was not anticipated, however, were some of the contacts the two operators had towards the activation's end. Jim Meechan, ZL2BHF, wraps up this week's newscast by giving us those details.
Anne, OH2YL, and Marco, OH2LG, were finally ready for that long-awaited 10 days of intense operating deep in the Balkans as Z68YL and Z68OM, respectively. The contacts came in exhilarating waves as the pair operated from May 20th through to the 30th. Then, just days before the big finish, the two operators were confronted with a pile-up like no other. Cows, a herd of at least 50 of them, rampaging through the antennas and messing with the guy wires. A blog post written by Jari, OH6BG, said that, quote, "the guy wires were given the right of their life," end quote. As for the feed lines, well, the cow's teeth took the word feed line quite literally. The feed lines for the N-fed half-wave wire antenna and the 6-meter dipole were both chewed through. With some repair work and a new vertical antenna, the operators were soon back in business. By the time they went QRT, despite high winds, QRM, and bovine intervention, they managed to work their way to a total of just fewer than 10,000 QSOs. Resilient, determined, and resourceful, they would not be cowed in Kosovo. This is Jim Meechan, ZL2BHF.
A good QSO can be like poetry. Sometimes. So why not write a haiku about amateur radio and join the Newsline Haiku Challenge? It's as easy as writing a QSL card. We can only accept the correct haiku format, that is, a 3-line verse with 5 syllables in the first line, 7 in the second, and 5 in the third. Submit your work on the website at arnewsline.org, and each week's winner gets a shout-out on our website where everyone can find the winning haiku. With thanks to Amateur News Daily, AMSAT News Services, ARRIS, David Behar, K7DB, DX World, the FCC, NASA.gov, NOAA, Radio World, the Radio Society of Great Britain, Rockford Scanner, shortwaveradio.de, Stepper, 13 Colonies Special Event, Wireless Institute of Australia, and you, our listeners. That's all from the Amateur Radio Newsline. We remind our listeners that Amateur Radio Newsline is an all-volunteer nonprofit organization that incurs expenses for its continued operation. If you wish to support us, please visit our website at arnewsline.org and know that we appreciate you all. We also remind our listeners that if you like our newscast, please leave us a 5-star rating wherever you subscribe to us. For now, with Karen Eve Murray, KD2GUT at the news desk in New York, and our news team worldwide, I'm Paul Brown, WD9GCO in Valparaiso, Indiana, saying 73. And as always, we thank you for listening. Amateur Radio Newsline is copyright 2025, all rights reserved.